When I was little, I grew up on reruns of Star Trek, and Captain Kirk and his team would travel all over space, and they would encounter various alien beings. There were a number of shows that began in the 1950s and 1960s that dealt with aliens in space. Part of that was due to our space program. We were in competition with Russia. In the late 1950s and all through the 1960s, there was a space war on, and building the astronaut program, building the actual rockets. Well, with that, with man looking to go to the moon and who can be the first one to go to the moon, our imaginations ran wild, and we began to have television and movies that dealt with, well, maybe there's aliens other places. And so just looking back historically, a lot of that came about in the 1950s and 60s because we're thinking about getting out into space and what we might find there. Yuri Gagarin, the Russian astronaut or cosmonaut, was actually the first man in space, and he's credited with saying, "I looked, but I didn't see God." And from that time onward, there has been this idea that there is something out there, there's someone out there, and we're not alone. We began to hear this expression, "We're not alone." And there's been a new rise in that even recently with Hollywood movies that deal with aliens and so forth. Are we alone? Hollywood would say no, absolutely not. There have been hundreds of movies that have been made featuring aliens from outer space. Visitations from aliens and what they might think or feel about us. And that question, are we alone, always comes up. There have been TV programs, movies. We couldn't even begin to list them all. When I was little, I grew up on the Martian and the alien, the big, proportionally big head and the big old eyes and maybe three fingers or something. Today it's more advanced. It's machines with regard to the Transformers and all that kind of thing. Some of them in the past were harmless. You remember E.T., 1977, E.T.? Or they might be bloodthirsty, like Tom Cruise in the War of the Worlds, blood-eating, vicious aliens. This idea of we're not alone is very common today. And what fills in the blanks for many is this idea of aliens and so forth. And I'm not opposed to watching science fiction with an emphasis on fiction. It's fiction. They're entertaining, and I don't believe that there's anything wrong with watching a movie like that, provided we understand that it's just purely fiction. These things don't exist. But what's interesting about those movies is that we keep wanting to know if something else is out there, and we keep making these movies, and we keep suggesting that it's aliens and so forth, when the very person that is out there is ignored. That's what's a little disturbing to me. There is someone out there, but that's the very person that we don't have in these movies. And the beings that are not out there, they're the ones that are in the movies. We want this longing. We want this desire to know if we're alone. We're not alone. But what the movies portray is that which is fictional, and what God's Word portrays is that which is true. I would like for us to think this morning about the fact that we're not alone in this vast universe. And it's not the machines or the aliens that Hollywood portrays. It's God. It's His Son. It's the Holy Spirit. It's an innumerable host of angels. We're not alone. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31. We live in a very vast universe. We're going to illustrate that in just a moment. We're talking about billions of solar systems and billions of stars and billions of galaxies, some conservative astronomers and astrophysicists estimate. Not thousands, but billions. We're talking about a very vast universe. Here we are on this planet, man, We're in a very, very vast universe. Is there anybody else out there? Is there any other being? Are we alone? In Jeremiah chapter 31, even Jeremiah, before the days of the space program and science and modern science and all of that, Jeremiah records God's word. And in the context here of 35 through 37, he's talking about how that God is saying, I will always be mindful of Israel, and I will always watch over them and their seed. And he gives two illustrations of this. In verse 36, if the ordinances of heaven, that's the natural laws with the planets, you know, going around the sun, and all of the ordinances or the natural laws, if these ordinances depart from before me, saith Jehovah, then the seed of Israel also shall cease. If you can make, the sun giveth the light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars by night, who stirreth up the sea so that the waves thereof roar, Jehovah of hosts is his name. If these ordinances depart, if you can make this stop, then I'll stop watching over the seed of Israel. It's a rhetorical point. You can't do that. You can't make the ordinances of the heavens stop. But then look at the very next verse, verse 37. Thus says Jehovah, if heaven above can be measured. You look at that now. Lives were lost just getting to the moon. And that's just to the moon. We're trying to get to Mars. We may or may not get there. Some have estimated 2030, possibly. But that's just the next planet over. We've just touched the hem of the garment just on our solar system. If you can measure the heaven above, you can't do that. And his point is, and the foundations of the earth, search out beneath, then I will also cast off all the seed. If you can do that, then I'll cast off the seed of Israel. In other words, you can't do that. You can't measure heaven and the heavens and all that are there. You just can't do it. We estimate, we get close, but we get to a point where we have to stop. Are we alone? No, we're not. And we're going to talk about who is actually out there. We're going to answer the question, who is out there? And it's not the answer that Hollywood gives. That's fictional. It's science fiction. We're going to look at God's word and hopefully gain some practical lessons for us this morning. We're not alone. Just look at our solar system. That alone boggles the mind. If you were to take the distance from the sun to Pluto, the farthest of our planets, and just measure that. Just measure that. It's mind-boggling. And some of the Bible writers could see out into space. Job and others talk about the Pleiades and Orion and some of our constellations. And they could see, and David, Psalm 8, he could look up and see the heavens. Just our solar system alone is vast and amazing. But it doesn't stop there. Our solar system is a very small speck in what we call our Milky Way galaxy. Now I want you to look at Jeremiah 31 as we go through these next few slides, verse 37. If heaven above can be measured. Now you just look at that. If heaven above can be measured. First of all, just go from the sun out to Pluto. That is a vast distance right there. And then understand that we are a part of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're a very small part of that. We are right here. Here is our sun. Here is our solar system. It's just a speck. It's a speck in our Milky Way galaxy. There are many solar systems. There are many suns in our galaxy, but it doesn't stop there. Our galaxy is one of billions of galaxies. Our Earth is a part of a very small solar system. Our solar system is a part of a group of solar systems. And that small group of solar systems is right here. You can't see it on the chart. It's this whole group is just one little speck in the Milky Way galaxy. But that Milky Way galaxy right here is one galaxy of many galaxies. And when you take a group of galaxies, it's called a supercluster,
And that's right there. This whole cluster is just one little dot of superclusters. And superclusters are put together, and they're called local superclusters, and that's one dot in the observable universe that there may be even beyond that that we can't see. Do you get the point, brethren? Now read that verse again. If heaven above can be measured. It is just mind-boggling. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Think about how many seconds there are in a year, and then multiply that by 186,000. That right there will take you a while. And then multiply that by 100,000. That's how long it would take for light to travel just from the end of one part of our Milky Way galaxy to the other. That's just our galaxy. And then you've got billions of galaxies that make up one little dot. If heaven can be measured. I love it how that Bible writers, what we call pre-scientific statements. I love how when they make statements that in 2014 with the Hubble telescope and other things, we're beginning to see the truthfulness of that. And they did that long before the telescope and things like that. No, we're not alone. No, we're not alone. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, we're one little speck. Isaiah, we're going to see this in a minute. Isaiah describes us as a piece of dust on a scale. A scale. Think of scales, maybe 5 inches in diameter with some little chains going up scales. We're a little speck of dust in a scale. And that really is true when you look at that whole vastness. Here's our earth, and here we are on the earth. The earth is in the solar system. The solar system is in multiple solar systems, which make up a galaxy, which there's multitudes of galaxies. We're just a little speck. Now, somewhere, God is in heaven. We're this little speck on the earth in this vast universe. And what we're going to see is that He's going to come and take care of us. And it's not the Transformers, and it's not E.T., and it's not the hundreds of other things that we've seen in movies. It's God. We're not alone. God is with us. In this vast ocean of a universe, as it were. I'm impressed. Turn with me now to the scripture reading that Brandon had earlier. I'm impressed in God's Word of some verses that mention how that God made this vast universe. And in the same Bible passage, get it? In the same Bible passage, there is a statement about how that He made the vastness of this universe, but then He also comes and cares for us. Here's an example. Brandon read Psalm 33, 6 through 9, that talks about how that God, by the word of God, were the heavens made. He just spoke it into existence. And just boom, across, just boom, like that. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It boggles the mind. And he just said it. So verses 6 through 9, he just said it, and it was made. And all the host of them, look at it, by the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them. That's where the Milky Way galaxy comes from. And all those billions of other galaxies. That's where it comes from. But jump on down to the very next verse where Brandon left off. Look at verse 10. Jehovah bringeth the counsel of the nations to naught. He can make this vast universe and then come to earth and take on nations if He needs to. Or in a, that's sort of in a negative way to judge them and so forth. But look at verse 18 in a positive way. Behold, the eye of Jehovah is upon them that fear Him. I made this vast universe with just speaking it, but then I can come and I can take care
of man. I'm impressed, and we're going to see some of these this morning, where there are Bible verses that talk about God making the vastness of the universe, but He's also able to come and be with us and take care of us. This is often found in what we call the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. It's found in Psalms, different places. It's found in the book of Job. Turn with me to Job 38. We don't have time to look at all of these. If you get a copy of the lesson, you can look at some other ones. But there are statements that talk about God making the heavens, and the point is that God is in control and He can take care of man as well. Look at the end of the struggle that Job has with his suffering, God comes to him, and what does God do? God doesn't come down and say, "Let me explain all the suffering." All He does is He comes down and says, "I made the universe. I made the universe." That's what He does. Job 38:1. Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind. Verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth and declared it?" Come down to verse 31. "Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion?" I noticed the last couple of nights Orion was very pretty and very easy to see on some of these cold winter nights. We need to get our kids looking up in the sky. God made those things. And get them looking up. Look up at what God made. Can you bind that? Can you lead forth the Maseroth, all of the constellations? Or can you guide the bear and her train? Know thou the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, what was this all to accomplish? Turn with me to chapter 42, verse 2. When God gets done telling him, Job, about how He made the universe, He comes on down to talk about some things that He does on this planet, even with the animals. "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained. God made the vastness of the universe, but He can come, and with me, He can do what is important." And so that's what helped Job. That even in bad times and in times of suffering, God knows what is going on. And if you look at Job 9, Job 22, Job 26, even the other friends recognize this very various thing. And Job himself in chapter 26, verse 7 and 13, talks about how that God made the heavens and all of that. What is that to show? That He has that power, but He also comes and He takes care of man. And so when bad times come, even God is still doing what is best for us. We're not alone. Are there bad times going on in your life right now? God, who made the vast universe, is going to do only what is best for you, even in bad times. Even those bad times in God's plan are what make us good. And Job recognized that once where he said that when I come out of this, I will be tried as gold. And so it will help me. In Job 26, in verse 7, "He stretcheth out the north over empty space." I love verse 13. "By His Spirit the heavens are garnished." I didn't put in the slides, but the Horsehead Nebula, there are beautiful things way, way out in space. You think things are beautiful here on earth? There's some beautiful things that God has made way out there in space. And by His Spirit, the heavens are garnished. Wow. What is all of this? That God, who made the universe, I may be suffering, but God knows what is best for me. And He can do all things. And He's in control of all things. And what I'm going through is best for me. Number two. Our universe is vast, but God knows who we are and where we are, and He cares for us. Turn with me to Psalm 8. Look at the vastness of the universe. We are a speck compared to that, but we're not lost. We're like a grain of sand, but we're never lost by God. He knows exactly where we are. He put us where He did in His universe. He knows where we are. He knows who we are. And He cares for us. And this is what David, the psalmist, said. Look with me at Psalm 8. And David, the shepherd boy, out on a nice summer night, would be able to look up and see the heavens. He's tending the sheep. He's looking up there and seeing the heavens. And David says, "When I consider thy heavens..." And we can even see farther than what David saw with the naked eye. We can see much farther than that with the great telescopes that we have. "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man," look at it, "that thou art mindful of him?" God is mindful of us. He knows exactly where we are at every second of the day. He knows who we are and where we are, and He will take care of us. He's mindful of us, and look at it, "and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him." He comes to earth. He comes to earth and takes care of us. Yes, that earth that is just a little speck in the vastness of the universe, God comes right in there and is mindful of us and cares for us. He's everywhere. Psalm 139, turn with me there. There's no place that we can go where God is not there. God can be anywhere in His universe He wants at any moment. We're doing well just to get off this earth. We struggle to get to the moon. We're trying to get to Mars. We're just touching the hem of the garment just of our solar system, let alone our galaxy, let alone the universe. And no matter where we go, God is there. And the beautiful thought about this, look at verse 8. "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." Well, we went to the moon in the 60s. We got up into heaven a little bit, trying to get to Mars. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are. God is going to be there. Turn with me to Psalm 147. Psalm 147 in verse 3. Here's another example. Here's another example of one of those statements, and this is often in the wisdom literature, where it talks about God making everything, and then there's a verse, a few verses later, that talks about how that He cares for man. Look at this, Psalm 147, verse 4. "He counteth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names." Billions and billions and billions of stars. He's got a name for every one of them. "Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." But look at verse 3, right around it. Verse 3, "He healeth the broken in heart." Look at verse 6, "Jehovah upholdeth the meek." Look at verse 11, "Jehovah taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." This, I made everything, and I can name every star. And then in the very next verse, "I'm there also to take care of you as well." Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. There are two passages in Isaiah that really impressed me that I'd like to share with you this morning. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are a speck in this universe, but we are not alone ever. And it's not the aliens, it's God. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Read with me. I want to read the whole chapter. This is a beautiful thought. Isaiah 40, verse 12. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand," talking about God, "and meted out heaven with the span?" Just underscore that in your Bible. Meted out heaven with the span. We just read that, well, the span of, really, the span of heaven. Just our galaxy is 100,000 light years from end to end. That's just our galaxy. So read that phrase, the span of heaven. Man, we're talking about billions of miles. We can't even come close. "Who hath meted out the heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of Jehovah," or being His counselor, "hath taught Him? With whom did He take counsel? Who instructed Him and taught Him the path of justice and taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are accounted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon
is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? And now he rebukes those who would try to make false idols. The image of a workman hath cast it, and the goldsmith overlayeth it with gold and casteth it in silver change. He that is too impoverished for such an oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a skillful workman to set up a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, this is God, it is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That's what you see up there, our solar system, Milky Way galaxy, and everything. It's just like spreading out a tent. It's impressive. Verse 23, that maketh the judges of the earth as vanity, that bringeth the princes to nothing. Yea, they have not been planted, yea, they have not sown, yea, their stock hath not taken root in the earth. Come on down with me to verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see who hath created these things. And I love how that modern science is giving us the opportunity to look out even farther beyond our solar system, because it helps us. I am not scared of that. I'm not bothered by that. That gives us more and more opportunity for the young people to see the designer behind the design and the creator behind the creation. Lift up your eyes and see who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and for he is strong in power, not one is lacking. Now look at the very next verse. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from Jehovah? Really? Really? The God who made the universe and he can name every star, you're going to act like you can hide from him? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, Jehovah the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Here's my point, brethren. Our universe is vast, and Isaiah just said that it's vast. He sits above the circle of the earth. He calls all the hosts by name. But verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to him that hath no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But here's your famous verse out of Isaiah. But they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because the God that made the vastness of this universe is right there to help you. Turn with me to Isaiah 44. In preparing this lesson, I was not aware of the word that I'm about to share with you, and it just amazed me. Turn with me to Isaiah 44. In Isaiah 44, beginning in verse 9, he's talking about how that it's vanity to make graven images and idols, and he's rebuking Israelites for falling into idolatry and that type of thing. Starting in verse 9. Read with me verse 12. The smith, that is the person who makes these idols, the smith maketh an axe and worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with his strong arm. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. Oh, making this idol, banging on this, you know, wood and this metal, making idols. Boy, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. See, he's making his idols. Verse 13. The carpenter stretcheth out a line. He maketh it out with a pencil. He marketh it out with a pencil. He shapeth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and shapeth it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man to dwell in a house. And he goes on to talk about these people making idols. Now look at verse 13. The carpenter stretcheth out a line. He gets a piece of wood, and he stretches out his tape measure. I want my idol to be 2 feet long, and so he stretches out his line, and he cuts it off at 2 feet. Look at the contrast to this in verse 24. Thus saith Jehovah, thy Redeemer, and he that formeth thee from the womb. I am Jehovah that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth. It's the same word used in verse 13 as verse 24. This measly little carpenter takes his measuring tape, no offense, Michael Carter, just takes his little measuring tape and he measures out 2 feet and I'm going to make an idol. Here's my 2 feet. God stretches out the universe. Same word. Here's a little carpenter down here. God, the great carpenter of the universe, as it were, the great designer, the great architect, he just stretches out his ruler. You know, I'm going to make a universe today by just speaking it into existence. It's amazing. And then he goes on to talk about in verse 26 and 27 and 28 how that he's going to visit his people and raise up Cyrus to bring them back from the Babylonian captivity. Oh, our universe is vast, but God knows where we are at every minute of the day. And he comes to help us. God is with us. Turn with me to Matthew 1:21. We're not alone. God is with us. Emmanuel. Jesus, Matthew 1:23, would be named Emmanuel. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. We are a speck of dust in the universe, and yet God comes and sends his Son so that God can be with us. And he does that to save us. We're a speck in the universe, and yet he's mindful of us. He considers us. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, he's mindful of us every day. And when man sinned, he sent his Son to save us. And that's not just some man, that's God with us, God in the flesh. John 1, 1, God, the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. God with us. We're not alone. I'm impressed in the book of John, especially. John is the one that does this the most, I believe, of the gospel writers. You look at John 3:13. Jesus describes himself as he who came down out of heaven. John 6:38, the bread that comes down out of heaven. We're being visited. We're being visited, brethren, but not by aliens. We're being visited by God and his Son. We're not alone. And the very one who does come from space, if you will, from heaven, to visit us, that's the very one that people are ignoring. That's the very one that people don't want. I just want Hollywood, and I want the aliens. No, we're being visited. And God wants to save us. And he comes down out of heaven in his Son to do that. We're not alone. God knows what we need. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. He knows what we need even before we ask it. We are a speck in this universe, but God knows every need that you have this morning, every need that I have this morning. We're told to pray. Pray for those things that we need. And God knows those things. Be not therefore likened unto him, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask him. We're not alone. And so in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, we're to put the kingdom first. Sometimes, well, you know, work and bills and this and that. No, put God first. He knows what we really need. He will take care of us. Verse 32, for all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all these things. Turn with me to Matthew 10:29. Now you think about where we are in the vastness of our universe. And then think about how that God can count every hair on your head from heaven. It's amazing. So when he sends his apostles out, Jesus says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father? Everything is in his hand, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. We don't need to fear. Sometimes we get up, we fear this, we fear that. We don't need to fear. God will take care of us. He will protect us. He upholds us each day. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. We are in a vast universe, but we are not alone. Every day, right this very minute as I am speaking, as you're turning in your Bibles, this very second,
God is upholding you and me. He made one of every nation that we should seek after Him and feel after Him. That's the person we need to be speaking about. We make these science fiction movies, but the truth is often ignored. We need to be seeking and feeling after God, not after something that doesn't even exist. Why? For in Him we live and move and have our very being. That means your chest is going up and down right now. You're breathing. That is by God's hand and by God's providence. We need to stop living in fear and in anxiety. God will not forsake us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? It's a rhetorical question. Paul is saying no one is. And he goes on down through verse 39 to talk about how that God will take care of us. Even in times of tribulation, verse 35, persecution, famine, sword, God will take care of us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Be free from the love of money. God will take care of what we need for the physical things of this life. We don't need to be greedy, covetous for those types of things. It's not money itself, but it's the love of money. That's the problem. For He has said, and then a quotation from Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. So that with good courage we say, not fear, not anxiety, but with courage and boldness, and the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what shall man do unto me? We can cast all of our burdens on Him, 1 Peter 5, 7, for He careth for you. Just a speck in the universe, and yet God comes and takes care of us. We're not alone. Neither does He forget the good that we do. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. As members of the church, we need to be busy with good deeds, not just at this time of the year when you often hear about helping others, but 365 days out of the year. We need to be doing good deeds. We need to be faithful. And God, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward His name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister. He is in heaven. We're a little speck in the vast universe. But whatever we do each day, God knows exactly what you did. And He will never forget that. That's amazing, isn't it? And so that's to prod them on to continual faithfulness and not apostasy or falling away. Our world will come to an end one day when God is ready for it too. And turn with me to 2 Peter 3:7. It's going to be because of His Word. You know, we have these movies, Armageddon and other types of things, where things are coming from space and is going to annihilate the world and things like that. No, that's not how it's going to happen. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's going to happen when God speaks His Word, when He is ready for it, and not until then. When He speaks His Word, then He will cause the earth and the works therein to be burned up. Then and only then will it happen. There's all kinds of movies about how the world is going to end with natural phenomenon and space phenomenon. And I'm not saying that God cannot use things, but God is going to be behind it, not just some natural phenomenon. Verse 7, but the heavens that now are and the earth by the same word. Underscore that in your Bible. He had been talking about the Word of God in verse 5 and 6 that created the world. The Word that created the world is the same world that's going to take it out. The same word. Underscore that in your Bible. By the same word. God's Word brought it in, and God's Word is going to take it out. That's how it's going to happen. And we're this speck in a universe, and when God gets ready for it, it's going to melt. Peter uses the word melt, verse 10, 11, 12. He uses the word dissolve. He uses the word pass away. And it's going to be when God speaks it, it's going to happen. Talk about that song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. Well, yeah. Absolutely. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, God, when
man is not acting right. And we've been learning through Larry's class and the study of Revelation, he's going to come. He's going to come in judgment. Turn with me. It could be upon us as Christians. It could be upon those who are in his church. In the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, Jesus says, "If you do not repent, or else I come to thee and will remove thy candlestick." Here we are, a speck in this vast universe, and people think, "Well, I can just act any way I want." No, you can't. Because God sees every little thing that we do. And if we sin and we do not repent, he sends his Son who comes in judgment. And there's going to be a great judgment day at the end. There are some temporal judgments in this book, as we've been learning, even upon Rome in the first century. But there will be a great judgment day even at the end of time. You don't just act any way you want. I act any way I want. And it just goes on. And God, you know, he's asleep somewhere, or he doesn't even exist. No, we are not alone. And he's vigilant toward those things that man does that is wicked. We've just got through finishing. Turn with me to Revelation 18. We've just got through finishing Revelation 18 in our class. There are statements in the book of Revelation that talk about an angel coming down out of heaven and these bowls of wrath, you see, and that type of coming. Well, God cares about the wickedness that is going on, and he's going to come and do something about that. And that should be sobering. If we're a part of those who are wicked, it should be sobering. We need to wake up and change our lives. Or, as faithful Christians, it could be comforting to know that he's going to vindicate his word and his will. 18:1, "After these things I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lightened with his glory." Well, why is he coming down out of heaven to earth? Because God's bringing judgment. And it's attributed to God in verse 8. "For the strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Oh, no. I'm this little speck in a vast universe. I can live any way I want. No, you can't. We're not alone. And there will be a great day of judgment. And he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17, 30 and 31. Where are we going to be on that day? We're going to be present. We're going to be there. Without God, our universe would not exist. Without God, we would not exist. But here's what I want to close with this morning. Without God, there's no reason to exist. That really is the whole thing. There is a God. And we will be present before him one day in a judgment. Our lives need to be right. Maybe we know of someone we need to talk to about that. There's going to be a judgment day. I want you to be impressed this morning with these passages of Scripture that talk about how that God just spoke the heavens. Boom. He stretcheth out the heavens. That's just amazing. But in some of those same passages, it's talking about God and us and what he's going to do with us. And the good things that he does for the Christians here this morning that are trying to live right and parents trying to raise your kids right. It's comforting to know that God is going to give us each day what we need. And that we don't have to live in fear and anxiety. And he will not forget the good that we're doing. It's like a speck of dust in the balance. We're like grasshoppers in his sight, just little things. But he's mindful of us and cares for us. And that, I hope, will encourage us this morning to keep living right. Of course, if our life is not right, then we need to make some changes. The same word, "let there be light," or in the beginning God created the Hebrew word bara out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3, he just spoke it into existence. That same word of God will bring it all to an end. And you and I need to be on the right side of judgment when that comes. If we can assist you, if we can help you in some way, we want to do that. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. "Jesus, I come." Listen. Jesus came to us. Now it's time for you to come to him. Jesus came to us. God came to us. God came and dwelt among us. God in the flesh. Fully God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9.
God was with us. Jesus has come. Now it's time for you to come to Him. And if we can assist you to do that, we're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. If you need to step forward, letting us know what you need to do, if we can help you to do that. Jesus has come to us. Now it's time for us to come to Him. And we're not alone. As we leave this morning, as we go out driving, we're going to be driving later, going home. When you look up, don't be thinking about some sort of fictional aliens. When we look up, we need to be thinking about who is truly there, and that is God and all the good that He's doing for us. If we can assist you and help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?